All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 16 today, which is our first review class for Test 1. We are going to do two things today. We are going to do a facts practice together as a class. That means you're going to take the facts practice 1A sheet and you are going to fill it in. And you'll do it pretty much as quick as you can, is the goal here. So we'll give you about 3 minutes to write your answers out. And then when we're done that, we'll take a little look at it again. I'll show you what the facts practice part of the test looks like. It's a little bit different, but it's similar. And then we'll talk about the content of the test, which means we'll go back over the class notes that you have had this year and make sure that you understand them. Okay? So the facts practice part begins here momentarily. Pardon me. If you are on the recordings, here's a little advice for you. What happens here is that I start the facts practice, and what you need to do on the recordings is pause the recording. Okay? And when I say go, you need to pause the recording. And then we will be back 3 minutes later. And so you go ahead and do the same thing on the recordings. Okay, and in fact, what you're going to see is I'm going to go ahead and bring up an app on the internet called the Online Stopwatch. Let's see, Online Stopwatch is what I use. And so here it is, a free app. And so you're going to see it at zero. And then at the end, you're going to see it at 3 minutes. And it's just going to flip from one to the other. So that will mean that 3 minutes have passed. But on the recordings, you will not know that. All right. So, Gabriel, wow, there's two of you now, too. So you're in a tricky spot today. So try your best to mute when you arrive. Okay. So if those of you who are ready in the class here, we're going to do the facts practice for the first time. What I wanted to say for some of you that might like the advice is that what Patrick is doing, he's a lower elementary student, and he's not an expert yet in this particular facts practice. So sometimes you might like to hear what Mr. Powell does at home with his student, right? Instead of just telling you what to do in one particular way. Let me show you one way that Patrick is doing this exercise right now. What Patrick is doing is literally copying this sheet, okay, so that he can get used to it. So he has this key in front of him, and he is writing out the answers onto a blank sheet. So if you're a lower L student, especially, and you're struggling a little bit with this, go ahead and do that as the first stage of your exercise. Then, when you become expert, you'll do it perfectly from memory. Okay, so there's a little piece of advice. Okay, so if you need it, you can do it. I'm going to take it off the screen and put the stopwatch on there. Whenever you are, if you happen to complete the exercise before the 3 minutes are up, just look on the screen and record the amount of time that it took you. Okay, and this is going to become your standard. You're going to try to do it faster than that next time. And faster and faster, and you'll have a race against yourself is what you will do. Okay, so just note the time and then wait quietly for the 3 minute mark. Okay, any last questions about that before we do it? First facts practice of the year. Here we go. Okay, on your mark. Get set. Go.
This spelling.
1 minute to go. Good luck. All right, that is the 3 minute mark. So pencils down. And if you're not able to complete it in 3 minutes, then what you do is you write 3 minutes at the top of your sheet and you will see how far you were able to go. So Patrick was very close to completing, but not quite. So you may have finished it. Write 3 minutes at the top there, Patrick. I think that that's a good amount of time based on what I'm seeing Patrick do here. I'm sure that some of the faster students here, the older students, can probably do it in 2 minutes or less. That's everybody's ability is a little bit different, especially when it comes to handwriting, right? So don't worry about whether you're faster than anybody else. Just make it your goal to be better and faster than yourself, and then you'll be on the right track. Okay, good. So let me show you just quickly here what the facts practice part of the test looks like. So if we go to that's the facts practice. If we go to your class web pages right now, you will see that I have already posted. So when we leave class today, you will be able to go to the class webpage immediately and print off the test preparation sheets for your level. Okay, there is an upper elementary test prep sheet and there is a lower elementary test prep sheet. Okay, and I recommend that you get started on it right away. You have 6 weeks worth of class notes, and you can read them and you can use them to find the answers. And what the test prep sheet looks like is this. Okay, so notice what I did with our Portland chart of ancient history. What I did was I stripped it down to just the lines that you would use to navigate to the past. And then what I did was I labeled it. This is the upper elementary one, so there's more to do here than there is on the lower L, by the way. So you'll see that if you're in lower L, yours is a little bit simpler, okay? But basically what you're looking for is you're looking at this shape that you recognize. And I'm going to ask you to tell me where are the special anchor points of your navigation to the past. And if you're in the upper L, I'm basically going to ask you them all. Okay? And so as you can see here, number one is, well, the most important anchor fact of all. Us! Right here, right now. There's no reason to study history except the fact that we are alive and we need to learn stuff about the past that helps us to understand the world we live in. So anchor fact number one. All right, anchor fact number two. The America-centric world and so on, okay? So you go number by number. The shape will help you, but also the number tells you, okay, number six is the fact of 509-508. I'm missing a period there. So, all right, so there you go for the upper L. You're basically going to write a sentence, in a complete sentence, that says what this fact is. Okay, so pretty straightforward. But writing it on a test from memory is part of the test. And then what you'll see on page 2 is some more long answer questions. And basically, there's only 2 pages to the test. So for now, it's a pretty easy test compared to what's coming later. Later on, upper L students will have at least 3 pages. Okay, but for now, you only have 2 pages. All right, so you'll be able to bring this document up on your class webpage and print it off, and you've got 2 days to work on it. Tomorrow, which is the unusual thing, or one of the unusual things about a test week, Wednesday, tomorrow, we have history through art. Okay, so that's how I give you an extra day to work on the test prep. And then what we do on Thursday is once you have filled this in, and let me be clear about that here, you need to write on your test prep sheets, have all your answers written and ready to go. I don't want on Thursday people basically looking at an empty sheet and trying to answer the question from their memory or from whatever it is they might happen to know at the time. I want you to work on this as a home. This is a homework exercise, and you are to have written answers ready for me on Thursday. Okay, especially with these questions, you will need to have an answer that is maybe one or two sentences long, and you need to look at the notes and make sure you can come up with a good answer. Opal, go ahead with your question.
So the test is just copying what we already wrote?
No. It is a combination of things. One of the things is learning to see the facts practice like this. That's page one. But you will see that you have not written any of these answers ever before on page two. So, Opal, to explain it in your terms, because I can see what you're going at here, is there are two main aspects to knowing about history. Okay? One aspect is remembering the facts. And you need to be able to do that. Otherwise, you cannot think about the past. So the first step in any test is making sure what facts you know, making sure you know them as well as you can. And then the second part is seeing how well you can connect those facts and make sense of them. Okay, so that is the way that a History at Our House test works, is it has those parts to it. All right, so one more. Go ahead, Opal.
So then how come we have a sheet of the other stuff? Like, I thought you were saying that we were just copying from it so that we don't have to do it for memorization in the test. What do you mean?
Well, I may have miscommunicated. But basically, the test will look a lot like this. Just to be clear, these are test preparation sheets. So your test will look like this, but it will not be the same as this. Okay, so some of it will be very much the same, some of it will be similar, some of it not. But this is a test preparation sheet, and so it's a homework exercise. I think that rather than worry too much about having, you know, all your questions answered at the moment, Opal, what I would do is do it, and you will see what it is, and you will understand it as you do it. Okay, what I'd like to do now is I would like to take everybody back through the class notes and discuss whatever things anybody needs to talk about with regard to the class notes. And I'm actually going to read from the lower L class notes, which are the easier ones. So let me go to the lower elementary class webpage and bring up the week one theme. And let's go ahead and take a look at that. Okay, right, so the first thing that is important to read back on and remember at all times when we are studying history is, why are we doing this? Okay, and what is history? And in particular, what is history at our house? Because normally, if you study history anywhere else, what you will learn about is merely the past. But one of the reasons why we do an anchor fact timeline, and one of the reasons why we've spent so much time preparing to study ancient history this year, if you think about it, we have spent 6 weeks preparing. Why do we do that? Because we don't settle for studying the past in history at our house. We want a subject that tells us about the world that we live in. We want to be able to connect the past to the present. We want to understand the world and how it came to be the way that it is. So the greatest example of that is, as the founding fathers talked about, that's about all we need come from the notes from week one. The rest of the class notes are all on the September page. So let me go to those. Here they are. So, right, here is a description of the anchor facts of history, how we connect the past to the present. What you're going to have to decide when you do your facts practice on the test, which is a little bit different than the facts practice exercise where you write a really short answer, what you're going to have to decide is what sentence to write. Right? Because I am asking you, let me go back to the test here. I am asking you to write a brief description in a complete sentence of the key event occurring at the date indicated on the anchor fact timeline. Okay? So, Opal, that is going to be part of the challenge here, is you're going to have to decide what to say or write. In this case, you have a certain amount of space. I don't want you to use just the first 3 inches of it. I don't want you to try to write a whole paragraph. And what I certainly don't want you to do is copy something straight out of the class notes. Okay, so you're going to have to decide what to write, say, for instance, about 1776. You're going to have to decide what to write about 1492 and so on. Okay, so that's going to be the key to the first page of your test. It's all based on the anchor facts of ancient history, which you have in your week 2 class notes. Is there anything on here that anybody needs to check with me about? Something that has been typed into the notes that you read that you feel like, oh, this part I didn't get from class, this part I don't understand. Okay, hopefully all of that has already been read by you guys at home, right? And you're comfortable with it. Okay, so then the second page of the test is mostly going to be about what follows, which in your class notes is all in week 3 and 4 and so on. So let's take a look at that. I'm going to ask you a few questions about that. All right, so the most important part of history, of ancient history, according to the founding fathers, was what? What did they create the United States based on? Rosetta?
The Athenians and the Romans.
Okay, the story of Athens and Rome. So guess what? We're going to spend about 2/3 of the year studying Athens and Rome because they absolutely are the most important. We are going to spend a little bit of time on Egypt and another place called Mesopotamia as well. But by far, they are much less important. And because Athens and Rome are so important because they created these ideas. Without them, we would never have these ideas. So that is the most important thing that we are going to study about in this coming year. So make sure that you are familiar with those things. Okay? And so have a good idea of what the difference is between one and the other. Right? See if you can say that to yourself and that sort of thing. So does anybody want to try really quickly here on their own? Who's going to bravely say, okay, what is a democracy? Patrick, what is a democracy?
Democracy means the majority rules.
Patrick got it. Democracy means the majority rules. Nicely put. Okay, so you need to be able to put it in your own words. Okay, a little bit more difficult one, republic. What is a republic? You want to try that one too, Patrick?
Does it I do know it has something to do with probably protecting minority or something.
Okay, protecting the minority instead of having the majority rule, that's true. Can anybody help Patrick here to be more specific? Because that's pretty good. Okay, Julia, go ahead.
It's basically the same thing as a democracy, except there are rules to protect the minority.
No, I don't think you should think of it that way. Because most republics, including the United States, are not basically a democracy with a little bit of stuff added. What they are is a very special form of government to protect rights. And then they have a little bit of something that has similar to democracy, but it's not the same. And if you pay attention to the elections this year, I'm sure no matter what news channel you pay attention to, you'll hear some people complaining about how the American government is not democratic and how there are all kinds of rules that are not democratic, all kinds of fascinating things. It's not really a useful thing to think of it mainly as democracy, but rather as a government that has special rules for protecting people's rights. And when we'll look at the Roman Republic, for instance, we'll see it wasn't democratic. We'll see that some of the people in the society, they were called aristocrats, controlled most of the government. But then on the other hand, there were lots of rules for stopping them from hurting the other people. But that's still a republic. And we can see as well that in the American government as well, not everybody has the same amount of control over the government. But the rules are there to protect rights. So we have to watch out for thinking that a republic is just a democracy with a little bit of tweaking. That's not it. Okay, so a democracy is a government that protects rights. All right. Especially, as Patrick pointed out, the rights of the minority, and the smallest minority is the individual. Okay, good. All right, continuing on from there. Is that week four is what's next? Yes, I believe so. All right. So one of the things you're going to need to know, who can tell me here just as a class exercise, what is the difference between classical and archaic? Everybody needs to be able to describe that as an important difference. When we're studying the ancient past, there's two parts to it. So what's the difference, Opal?
Classical things are old but still considered important, and archaic things are not really considered so important anymore.
Okay, not bad, right? There you go. So no longer considered important would be kind of a decent lower elementary definition. You'll probably see more detail in your upper elementary notes. So if you are upper elementary, I'd like to see an answer that was a great answer, kind of just off the cuff, as we say, Opal. I hope your written answer will maybe have a little bit more to it. Okay, so that's a good start. All right, and then last thing, week 5 and 6 class notes have to do with our connection to the archaic past and how we got connected to it at all. Because it is the archaic past, our connection is much smaller. It's much less important, as Opal said. Okay, but it's not zero. It's not nothing. So that's why we study the archaic past a little bit and why it's worth doing. So what is the bridge? How do we have any connection to the archaic past? How would you navigate your Portland chart to the archaic past? What's the bridge? Julia, go ahead.
The Rosetta Stone?
The Rosetta Stone, right. You would go through the discovery and decipherment of the Rosetta Stone. Otherwise, you're not going to get there. Otherwise, all you're going to do is you're going to take a cruise down the Nile and look at the pyramids and look at the temples and say, isn't that fascinating? And then go home. Because you won't be able to know the history. So this is our bridge. We can look back on these very strange, mysterious people that lived in such different ways than we do, and from whom we haven't really learned anything directly. Perhaps we can learn some things indirectly. Perhaps when we get to Egyptian history, we'll learn some things that are worth knowing. You'll have to decide how valuable it is and how much time to spend studying it. We won't do an awful lot. Who is it all thanks to? Well, let's see. Let me ask you this. Is it written on here? Ooh, not so much. Okay, upper elementary question, or question for anybody. Who are the two people that had the most to do with building this bridge? How did this bridge get built? Who did it? Oh. Wyatt?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Napoleon.
Napoleon was one because he got those scientists to Egypt. Even though he was a conqueror, and we don't think that's a nice thing, without all those archaeologists and historians going to Egypt, we would never know about ancient Egypt. Okay, so he's one of our contributors. And who is the second? It's fun because they almost have a very similar sounding name. The second one was, Rosetta?
Francois.
Good pronunciation. Jean-François.
Champollion.
Champollion, very nice. Ah, have you spent some time in Paris? You are speaking very well. Okay, that's a good accent. All right, and so thanks to him, and thanks to the decipherment of the Rosetta Stone, we can look back all the way to 3000 BC, and we can read the text that is found on the Narmer palette, and we can learn that this man who is depicted there is the man that the Greeks once called Menes, and that he may very well be the first king of Egypt. And now we can study Egyptian history. We know where it starts, and we know where it goes. All right, excellent. So you've got the test prep sheets now, so you have 2 days to fill them in. And so good luck with that exercise. We will see how well you do on Thursday. If you have further questions about it, once you've had a chance to work on it tomorrow, you can ask me in class any follow-up questions before we do history through art. All right. Thanks, everybody. Good luck with the test prep. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.